good to you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
I said, Georgia. Georgia. A song of you. Through the pines.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Donald Trump was singing that song as he landed at Atlanta's Hartsfield Airport last night? I wonder. Good old Ray Charles. Loved Ray Charles. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday, August the 25th already. Wow, we're running along in this month, are we not? Lots going on. In a few minutes, Taylor Barkley of the Center for Growth and Opportunity is going to be with us, and we are going to talk about the fact that he says Christians should not fear artificial intelligence, but rather embrace it as a product of man, created by God. So very interesting approach. We will be talking with him in a few minutes. And a new poll shows who most GOP voters think won the Republican presidential debate on Wednesday night. We are going to tell you who they think it was, so stay tuned for that. And the Maryland court says parents cannot keep their kids from reading about LGBTQ plus issues in school. Parents cannot stop the teaching of that issue. We are going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we think we got a pretty good one. The top 10 most visited websites worldwide. See if you know what they are. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut guys in Tampa Bay, I am telling you, get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment, 733-3773, 733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. I've used them. They are terrific. They do it quickly. They do it safely, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with trees. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999, 727-330-1999. So, did you see that mugshot of Donald Trump? He looked a little bit stern in the shot. I'm sure that the mainstream media will be posting that mugshot for, I would say, years to come, don't you? Former President Trump, by the way, he made his first post on what used to be called Twitter after his the formal booking in Georgia. The post contained his mugshot. And he had the words election interference on the post. He was suspended, if you remember, from Twitter back in January of 2021. That was before Elon Musk got his paws on Twitter. And, of course, now it's called X. By the way, Trump suggested that under the standard by which he faced and is facing racketeering charges in Georgia, that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams, who ran for the governorship of Georgia, should both be indicted for contesting the election. I think he's got a good point. I think Stacey Abrams is still saying she thinks that the election was rigged. Does she not? I think so. And Hillary Clinton, she called Trump an illegitimate president. I don't see them getting hauled before a judge, do you? I don't think so. He says, how in the world is Obama, when he said you have to, when he told Hillary you have to make the call to concede to Donald Trump, and she called up, and she totally conceded, Trump said, but now every time you see her on TV, she's saying she's challenging the election. And then there's Stacey Abrams. She said, apparently at one point she admitted that she lost to Brian Kemp, but she said that the election was rigged. Quote, the game was rigged against the voters of Georgia, unquote. And she never recanted that. And there she is in Georgia. Why don't they go after her? Would you say that there is a double standard? I would say so. By the way, speaking of Fat Fanny, you know, the woman that is the prosecutor in Fulton County, the House Judiciary Committee is going to probe Fanny regarding her motivation for prosecuting Trump. They sent a letter to her, and in the letter, they want her to provide documentation as to why there was a charge brought against Donald Trump. Quote, it is newsworthy that just 4 days before the indictment, you launched a new campaign fundraising website that highlighted your investigation into President Trump. The letter went on to say, additionally, the forewoman of the special grand jury that you convened to investigate Trump bragged during a media tour about her excitement at the prospect of subpoenaing President Trump and getting to swear him in. Would you say we have two standards of justice in this country right now? I would say so. But Trump is sucking up all the oxygen in the room. I wonder what all of these Republicans that are running for the White House, you know? And by the way, we are going a little bit later. We're going to tell you about a Washington Post poll, which polled Republicans as to who they thought won the presidential debate. But
that and yesterday I got my hair cut, so Andrew is pacing right now.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Talk about the debate.
Oh, I bet he may be calling in to
he will be calling
talk
in
to us about what he thought about the debate, and also who he thought won the debate. Be interesting to see what he thought. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the debate? Yeah,
I did not.
Okay.
It got off to me boring, and then the phone rang, and then I was on the phone.
Yeah.
So I was watching highlights or lowlights of it. Whatever.
You would have watched it except for the phone call, maybe, huh?
Yeah, if Trump was on it, I would have just turned the phone off.
Oh, really? But you weren't interested in watching it because Trump was not there?
Women get kind of upset with that when you shut the phone off.
We don't want to upset a woman.
Mm.
So I watched it. It was. I thought it was very interesting. I really did. I thought it was wild too. But
I thought there was wasn't going to be any audience.
Oh no! They in fact they had that. That's a beautiful place where they had Pfizer Forum. It's made for a big audience.
I know, but I don't like an audience for the debate.
You don't?
No.
Well, the audience certainly was vocal.
Yeah.
As much as they tried to keep the audience from, you know, how that goes.
I think when Chris Christie was introduced, I think he got a little, few boos.
He got boos every time he started to open his mouth.
Mm.
By the way, I think you would have lost a bet about how quickly Christie would have mentioned Trump.
Yeah, I did listen to that part.
He did not start out by mentioning Trump at all.
I'm sure he wanted to.
He probably did, but he held himself down on that one. Mm. Okay. Let's take a break. We'll get back to the debate a little bit later. In the meantime, when we come back, Taylor Barkley of the Center for Growth and Opportunity is going to be with us. He says Christians should not fear artificial intelligence, but rather embrace it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and call your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Works. Thank you very, very much for being here with us. And we're delighted to have Taylor Barkley join us. He is the Director of Technology and Innovation at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. And he has a new op-ed at FoxNews.com talking about how Christians should not fear artificial intelligence, but rather embrace it as a product of humanity. Created by God. Taylor, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on the show, Paul. Great to be here and excited to talk about this topic. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of like your approach and your philosophy on this. A lot of people are concerned. You know, we've watched too many science fiction movies over the years. I know I've watched my share.
And I think we have, yeah. It sneaked in somehow, yes.
And, you know, in these movies, what was the one, War Games, was it, where...
Sure.
Yeah, War Games, where the board, the computer decides whether or not we're going to go into World War III. I mean, that's kind of a scary situation. So tell us, a lot of people think eventually we're going to make these computer systems so good that they actually will take over thought processes. A, do you think that will occur? B, do you think we can still control it?
So the first question, the more I've read about this topic of artificial intelligence, the more I'm convinced that it's just so, so difficult to do. I think it seems as, computer scientists and the technology advance, as they try and learn about, human intelligence, because that's the best intelligence we have access to, it's kind of like this... It's like this line that, the closer you think it is, the more you learn about it, the further the line gets away from us. So it's like as technology advances, as science advances, we learn, the human thought process, the nervous system are very, very complex, and we still don't even know really what consciousness is. That's not, nailed down by any means. So I think it's a very distant goal, and notions that, super intelligence or even human level artificial intelligence are right around the corner. Those are just, I think I'm very dubious of those claims. And, it's not this one and done thing where, we do create a human-like intelligence does, appear or it's created in a lab and it's run on artificial, on computer chips. it's not a done deal that this thing then becomes malevolent. You know, like you mentioned science fiction at the top, you know, we shouldn't be using fictional scenarios as exhibit A in an argument.
Yes.
You know, they're useful stories, maybe to help us think through potential problems, but they're not facts, they're not reality. And I think, you know, computers are often the bad guy in stories because that's just an easy antagonist to develop. It's easy to make technology like the villain and have a good story around it. So I just, you know, I urge caution there, and you know, let's use those appropriately. But, you know, we're not anywhere close to getting, you know, even human level intelligence. And say something did develop, there's not, you know, we have many smart people now. We have many powerful organizations, powerful nation states, right? That, aren't always acting in malevolent ways. Sometimes they do, but like, we have systems to control them, and we have systems to deal with them when problems do arise.
Indeed.
I think that's another useful framework to think through it.
Now, you take the you're looking at it, and you talk about it from the standpoint of Christians, and
yes,
the standpoint of people that believe in God. God has designed our universe. God, you know, oversees things.
Yes,
and so. Is your point that God will take care of this concern, or what exactly, why is it that if you have a Christianity-based system of beliefs, mm-hmm, that you should not worry about, you know, what could happen with artificial intelligence?
Yeah, so I wrote this op-ed. It was published last Sunday on FoxNews.com, and it came about, kind of the background here, I had heard from some family members that, you know, many of their friends and even friends who are pastors were concerned about artificial intelligence. They were, you know, very worried was the description. And I just thought, wow, like, no matter what topic, I think a Christian, no matter what fear, no matter what's happening in the world, Christians have a ultimate comfort, a cosmic hope, I like to call it. There's a cosmic reality where God is sitting outside time. He loves us. He knows what's going to happen. So no matter what, even if it's the worst case science fiction scenario, which I don't think is going to happen at all, but even in the worst of cases, we have an eternal hope, a cosmic hope, because of our belief in God and who He is. And so that's kind of the overarching story, I think, that frames any discussion, whether it's AI, you know, what other public policy issues, troubles in the world, even good things in the world. There's that cosmic hope and cosmic reality we can believe in and should believe in. So there's that point. And then, you know, I think, with that in mind, you know, Christians don't need to join in the overall worry because there are so many facts on the ground. You know, AI has been around a long time. It's not this new development. It came to the fore, and we're discussing it now because of ChatGPT's release in November 2022, which surprised us all, surprised researchers, surprised me. I've been doing tech policy for over a decade, and it surprised me and how advanced it was. And so now it's all these, you know, new questions arise, but we've seen this before with AI hype cycles. And every time we realize, like I mentioned earlier in the show, we realize how far real intelligence actually is from being, you know, replicable in computer software. And in the op-ed, so I talk about that, and I talk about, you know, it's an opportunity for awe, like to realize, wow, you know, the human brain, consciousness, what that means, it's really impressive, and I think it can drive us to be more worshipful towards God, to Christians to be more worshipful towards God. And lastly, I highlighted too that the Southern Baptist Convention actually adopted a resolution on AI this summer. And I think it's really, really good. It's very, very helpful. And I pull out some of their quotes in my op-ed, where, you know, they highlight that we should have a, you know, posture of hope and realize that no matter the scenario, the Bible can offer guidance. And, you know, they also highlight all the benefits that AI can provide while acknowledging it can be misused and used poorly. And I would recommend all your listeners to go, you know, just, you know, search Southern Baptist Convention resolution on AI. And it's just is a really, really short but helpful walkthrough, like how a Christian might think about this important issue.
Yeah, you know, religion, and many people would say that religion was designed to actually comfort humanity. You know, for all the, you know, the things that we go through on this planet while we're alive, if we've got something that you can fall back on when everything seems to be going, I mean, think about it, you know, World War I, World War II, all of the bad things that have occurred. And yet,
oh, yeah,
and that was the time that people perhaps had their strongest belief in God because they needed to look for something that was going to calm their fears.
That's right.
You know, and so when things like artificial intelligence, and by the way, you say in your piece, I think, that we have a long way to go before AI reaches anything close to human-like intelligence to begin with. I've always thought, well, as long as there's an on and off switch on the robot, we're okay. We're okay, right? It's when the robot decides to remove the on-off switch that I'm going to start worrying.
That's right. There is conjecture about that. And, you know, part of this panic comes from many renowned experts and leaders, researchers, and, you know, very successful entrepreneurs, you know, in the hundreds, saying we should be very concerned. And I don't think most of them or many of them, I would wager a minority are Christians or maybe, you know, religious natured who believe in a non-materialist reality. So, you know, this informs my beliefs about artificial intelligence. I don't believe that we live in a world that's purely material. I believe there is a spiritual element, like I have a soul, you have a soul, Paul. And, you know, I think that plays into what consciousness is, even, you know, levels of intelligence. You know, you look at, you know, an elephant, for instance, has more neuronal connections than we do as humans. Yet, you know, elephants aren't building civilizations. They're not creating art, you know, to the level of humans. They're not, you know, constructing things, developing political systems as complex as humans. So there's something extra going on with humanity. And I think that really informs my perspective, and I think should inform Christians' perspective to say, like, wait a minute, like, this is not purely explained by, you know, how many connections are made or not. And I believe, yeah, this is, you know, religious beliefs come from God's existence. I believe God exists. And, you know, for the Christian, this is woven throughout the Bible, what you'd mentioned earlier. Like, religion and God's existence can be a comfort in the midst of, you know, suffering. The book of Habakkuk is a great three-chapter book where it talks about, you know, how can God exist when so much evil is happening in the world? And then it ends with, but even if the fields are fallow and there's a drought, God is still Lord, and I can still put my faith in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's where...
That comfort.
Exactly right. We're talking with Taylor Barkley. He is the Director of Technology and Innovation at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. He has penned a piece at foxnews.com about how Christians should not fear artificial intelligence, but partner with it. And... So God, you know, with the philosophy of Christianity in mind, God has a plan. He knows what's happening. He knows how things are going to end whenever they do. So artificial intelligence factors into his plan, right?
It certainly is not surprising to God. That's absolutely the case. I mean, I love what the Southern Baptist Convention says here, to engage AI systems from a place of eschatological hope rather than uncritical embrace or fearful rejection. And that eschatological hope, so eschatology, study of the end of times, that's, I think, what you're kind of talking about here. Like, there's no surprises to God. I think, you know, the Bible talks about the Tower of Babel in Genesis and how God has to come down to look at this thing that the humans were creating and they were just so, you know, proud of. Like, we're going to build a tower that reaches up to God himself. And God has to come down to look at it, kind of like get on his hands and knees, and as it were, and look at it. And I think, you know, the same thing happens here with, you know, no matter how advanced the technology gets, nothing surprises God, and nothing will ever, ever, ever equal God,
right,
even close to it. So there's that perspective.
Right. In the Tower of Babel, God intervenes by making the people speak different languages so they do not understand each other and cannot continue to build the tower. He stops the tower. Would he therefore, from that standpoint, would he intervene if artificial intelligence gets to a point where the robots can start to control humanity? Do you think that's how that would work? You know what I mean? Go ahead.
I do, yeah. I've thought about that a lot, actually, and did a panel event a few years ago at South by Southwest on this notion, the exact notion. And my take and theory on the Tower of Babel incident, because it was involving cutting-edge technology, like it mentioned the fact that humans took, you know, mud and clay and made bricks and kilns, and that's a cutting-edge tech. Like, we take bricks for granted now, and they've been around a long time, but that the, you know, back then it was, you know, in the many thousands of years BC, that was cutting edge tech, kind of like artificial intelligence. Here God intervenes and confuses the languages So, you know, humans can't accomplish what they set out to do. And my thought on that is, like, maybe there was, like, a nudge in the, the timeline of, like, human history that God took. Like, maybe there would have been more advanced technologies, you know, 3,000 years sooner or whatever. And this is totally conjecture on my part. But, I you know, God can do what he wants. He is the supreme being. So maybe he could get involved. Maybe he can get involved now. Maybe he won't. Who knows what will happen. But, you know, regardless, we can put our faith and hope in what he decides.
Well, I can say one thing, Taylor. I think right now, at least the way things seem to be going in the world and in this country, we need to rely on God more than ever.
That's right. That's right. No matter what, you know, good times and the bad, our ultimate hope and security should be in God. And I think that's the bedrock for Christians, no matter what issues we're facing or discussing. And, you know, thinking through how we can use them wisely and not give in to the fear and the panic.
Right. Taylor Barkley, thank you so very much for coming on. Very, very interesting discussion. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your philosophy.
Thank you, Paul.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Taylor. All right. Taylor Barkley, Center for Growth and Opportunity. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, a new poll right after this Republican presidential debate Wednesday night, Washington Post poll, shows who most GOP voters think won the debate. We are going to tell you right after these messages.
Once again, I found myself with my friends. Dancing the night away, it's like the party never ends. Then again, we don't want it to stop, because tonight's the night, it goes swing.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Freedom Works. And are you surprised that plane in Russia carrying Yevgeny Prigozhin crashed, exploded and crashed? I'm not surprised at all. It looks like a hit job from Putin. The guy that was the commander of that group of fighters, military fighters, that kind of went against Putin for a short period of time. Putin finally got him, looks like, huh?
Two families you want to be careful if you work for. One is Putin's, the other is Clinton.
Yes. Well, the Kremlin has pushed back, of course, claiming they had nothing to do with this terrible explosion or whatever it was. And, you know, think about it. And I think that Putin definitely had a hand in this. They didn't just kill him, Prigozhin. They killed 9 other people on that plane. Mm. That's pretty merciless. That's pretty mercenary, is it not? Very scary. All right. So, the debate Wednesday night, which I watched, and the Washington Post had a poll. And it was taken right after the debate. And it was given to a bunch of Republican voters. to find out what they thought about it. We got Andrew the Master Barber here, by the way. Andrew, did you watch the debate?
Paul, I watched it. And I did laugh through the whole thing.
So what was your impression? Let me ask you, first of all, I know that it seemed like as the debate went on, it got rowdier and rowdier, did it not?
You had a bunch of fools up there, Paul. That's what happened.
Do you think anybody came out on top from that group?
Well, I know the four liberal newspapers say Mr. Swamy did. But I wouldn't trust four liberal newspapers. I got my own opinion of Mr. Swamy.
Yeah.
And the only right thing that I believe Krispy Kreme said that night
Krispy Kreme made sense
is he called out Swamy and says, we have Barack Obama on stage.
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
And he's the only one that called him out. And you know what? This guy is Barack Obama Jr.
You think so?
I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smooth talker. He's articulate. He knows just what to say. Okay? And he's got these dumb Republicans believing in him. I think he's a Democrat plant.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, he seems to be somewhat in the in Donald Trump's corner. He would pardon Donald Trump. Okay.
Well, of course. Of course
he would. We're talking about Ramaswamy, by the way.
Yeah, I call him Swamy. You know, I got a name for everybody.
I know you do.
Swamy now.
He's the Swamy man, yeah.
But, no, I don't trust him now. Either he's trying to be Trump's VP, and he's doing a hell of a job, or it's a total setup. There is no in-between.
Well, let me tell you what the Washington Post poll found. They said that, according to the poll that they conducted, Ron DeSantis won the night.
Well, you know, Ron mm-hmm. did a great job speaking.
Yeah, I thought he did.
He made one mistake.
Okay.
His one mistake was when they asked and said there who would back up Trump if he's the nominee for the Republican Party. Swamy was the first one to raise his hand, and the guy left to him raised his hand, and the one after him, and Ron was looking down the line before he put his halfway up.
Yeah, he sort of put his hand up. It didn't go shooting straight up in the air right away.
Yeah, it's a shame what's going on with him.
Yeah.
But the Republican people, especially in Florida, lost total faith in Ryan.
So tell me about, I'm going to get back to the debate with you, but I want to ask you about last night's Fulton County jail visit by Donald Trump. By the way, did you see his, did you see?
Let me tell you something, mister.
What?
I told Ed yesterday when he came in to get his hair cut, that their opening song should be "That's the Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia," buddy. Okay?
Yes.
Did you see the look on his face?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. They're in trouble. This man, as far as I'm concerned, is fighting for the American people more than any other president has ever done in the history of this country.
Yeah.
Period.
I think a great deal of the people of this country are rallying behind him. Now, I'm looking at this mugshot of Trump.
<That's right.
laughs> Trump put this mugshot on his, what used to be called his Twitter account. Did you know that?
Now, do you know they're selling T-shirts already?
I can believe it.
He's got $50 a piece.
He's kind of like trying to look through your body. You know, he's got this, the pierced eye look, I guess you could call it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, I can tell you this. The DA in Georgia, what's her name, Fannie whatever?
It's Fat Fannie Willis.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she better be walking around with her BLM bodyguards all day long. I can tell you that. If I was her, I would not be walking around without BLM behind me.
Well, you know that Jim Jordan and the House Oversight Committee, I think
that's
it's
right.
Is doing a little investigation into the motivation behind why she decided to drag Donald Trump
before a
judge.
They got to investigate it? Why would you even have to investigate it? Okay.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, and I think Trump made an outstanding point. Hillary Clinton disputed her election, and
Stacey Abrams,
who's from Georgia, is still arguing that it was an illegitimate election.
That's right. It's okay for them. You understand? See, it's okay for them to do it, but it's not okay for anybody else. That's what they mean by two-sided justice system, Paul.
You know, if I was the judge when this thing comes before me, first of all, the first thing that Trump's lawyers should do is to contest it immediately and say it should be tossed out. If I were the judge, I would toss it. I would say, you know what? This is not something that should be handled in a district court. This should, or you know, in a Georgia court.
It should
be on a federal level because it's almost intruding into the feds. Why is it Georgia that's bringing this? You know what I mean?
Well, because Georgia wants the attention. She's thinking she's making a name for herself, but she doesn't realize the name she's going to get.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be what she wants. And one thing I would say about Ron DeSantis, okay, is he got rid of district attorneys like her. He had the guts to do that.
Right.
And I'm quite sure if Donald Trump becomes president, which I believe he will, you're going to see a big turnaround in a lot of district attorneys.
So going back to the debate, and I thought that Ron DeSantis did a pretty good job. The last thing that he said, as I remember, is he said that he would go after the drug runners, even if he had to go into Mexico to do it.
That's right.
And I thought, you know, that he really would take the bull by the horns when it comes to our southern border.
Hey, what?
That Ron DeSantis, by saying that, is indicating that he really would take the bull by its horns when it comes to the southern border.
It should have been taken care of it would have been taken care of if Trump was president, but you got the cacoots in there that doesn't know what the hell is going on at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what you got. You got a bunch of illegals coming in this country. They think they're all going to be Democrat voters. All they're going to be is more crime against the American people.
Did you get a chance to watch Donald Trump's Tucker Carlson interview?
No, I didn't because I was watching that the circus the other night.
Right, I didn't see it either. I just was curious because I wonder how many people actually watched it. Fox News got a huge ratings.
Well, Fox News got what, 11 million?
12.8 million people.
Well, the rumors are taking it that there was over 100 million people listening to Trump's, according to what I've been watching.
Well,
over 100 million.
If you factor in everybody that might have been listening on a radio and whatever other medium.
Yes.
But it was a lot of people. There was a lot of interest in it. Do you think, besides DeSantis, and we talked about Christie a little bit, and Ramaswamy, what about Nikki Haley? Did you feel she did that?
The only good job she talked about was her abortion. And that was it. And, you know, that's the woman's point of view, and she did a good job with that. But as far as presidential material, forget about it.
She took Ramaswamy to task.
Yep. Well, let me tell you, like I said, if Ron DeSantis would have been handling himself like Swami is, he would have been vice president and president in 2028.
In 2028.
Right.
Uh-huh.
If he handled himself and stood up behind Trump like I believe he should have, he would have been vice president.
Oh, I got it.
And he would have been president in 2028.
But yet you don't like Ramaswamy.
I told you. I think he's a plant. The guy got $90,000 from Soros' sister's college fund.
Why would he
to school.
Why would he be backing Trump in so many ways then?
Listen, a Democrat will get their foot in the door to do anything, Paul.
So he's,
I mean, you know, it's like a Trojan horse.
Okay, so he's actually not really, he doesn't really feel the way he's.
I mean, if he gets in one way or the other, he's already in now.
Mm-hmm.
His foot's in the door, one way or the other, president or vice president. Once your foot's in the door, all he's got to do is keep BSing to people. He's good at it, Paul.
Yeah.
He's an articulate speaker, just like Obama was.
He is a very articulate speaker. That is true.
You know, one of the things I don't believe was brought up, maybe you can tell me if it was or not, these candidates, what if they were elected president with regards to the illegal, and yes, they are illegal. I don't care if they have a driver's license or whatever. If they're here illegally, what are your plans to do with the millions that are here now if you become president?
Yeah, I don't recall that anybody said I would absolutely get rid of all
because
of
now
them
you,
or anything
you're gonna,
like that.
You start dealing with, is there amnesty or, you know, what's the deal?
Yeah.
If they're at the door illegally, they got to go, period.
But nobody, do you remember, Andrew, nobody mentioned that they would, on stage, that they would kick them out of
because
the country,
because
right?
They all agree we're gonna close.
Correct.
Close the wall, especially the holes that were opened up for the antelope.
That's true.
The antelope to get in.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, Trump won the debate, okay? And he wasn't even there.
That's probably why he didn't want to go.
Do you?
That's right.
Andrew, by the way, we're talking with the Master Barber. Andrew, the Master Barber. Great, great barbershop, best in Tampa Bay for men. Do you think Trump will show up for the second Republican debate?
Let's see what the point difference is. If he only lost one or two points, maybe three, he ain't going to bother. If he lost 7-10, he'll be there.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about that myself. The next one is scheduled for, if I'm not mistaken, late September, like September 27th. And he might be, do you think he'll, well, will the dust have settled on all these indictments, or will he be in such involvement by then, do you think, in the indictments that he won't even have time to show up for the debate?
Paul, let me tell you, the guy is like Superman.
Yeah.
I told you before, he will get the strength to do whatever he's got to do because I know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This man is unstoppable now. Did you see his face in that picture?
Yeah.
If that's not a look of determination and anger, I got news for you. These people's heads are going to roll. They just don't realize yet. And all these dumb indictments they got against him did one thing. They opened the door to depose every one of these morons.
Yeah.
Okay? And the truth is going to come out. And when this truth comes out, I got news for you. Those people on that stage, let me tell you, they should all be off of there, and every one of them should be backing Trump right now. Not one of them. They should all say, "We're pulling out our whatever," and we're not going to run, and we're all backing Trump. They should do it in solidarity because what they're doing to him is no good, and not one of them people up there have the guts, except for Swami, to back him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what his intentions are, but either or, I don't trust either one.
Yeah,
especially when his opening statement was, I'm the skinny man on the stage with a different color. Who said that?
Ramaswamy. Barack Obama.
Who said that
Barack
before
Obama.
That?
Barack Obama.
All right. He said his opening statements. I'm sorry. I don't trust the guy. And anybody who does better open their eyes.
I heard, and we talked about this the other day on the show, that the Republican governor of Virginia might be considering.
Yunkin the Munchkin. Forget about it. He ain't going nowhere. He's not going nowhere. All these people want to get in. You know, I got elected as governor. What the hell was he? A school teacher or something before? I forget.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he wants to be president. Get out of my life. What's the matter with you people?
It's awfully strange.
You know, I've been a barber all my life. I'm going to become a surgeon tomorrow.
It's awfully strange how quiet it is on the Democratic front.
They got to be quiet because
Kennedy and Biden. That's it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
If I was a Democrat,
I'd be kissing Kennedy's rear end.
But they're not.
Because they're stupid.
But they're not, and half of them say Biden shouldn't run, which should tell you something. It should tell you that something's going to happen where he's going to back out.
Isn't it amazing that Biden is the most out-of-the-picture president we have ever had?
Mm.
The guy absolutely, he's either on vacation all the time or he's not accessible. Have you ever seen a president less accessible than this guy is?
He's on vacation because he's failing fast.
Well, of course, and that's part of it.
Fast. I mean fast.
Yeah. He's failing. He's failed.
No, I mean, he's failed. There's a huge difference from when he took office.
I agree.
Huge.
I agree.
I mean, it was comical.
He was able to finish sentences in the debate against Trump when they were vying for the presidency back in 2020.
He couldn't do that.
3 years later, he can't do that.
He can't do that today. There's no way.
You know, let's say Trump and Biden get on stage as the contenders. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Trump.
They'd have to get him hunting his cocaine.
I tell you.
To make it through tonight.
Even,
it's never going to happen.
Yeah, maybe Hunter can give Pops a little pick-me-up.
Yeah, maybe Hunter should. Why not put Hunter up there to talk?
Hey, come here, big guy. Come here, big guy.
It's always... Paul,
the Republican Party needs to start backing Trump, every one of them. Mm-hmm. The ones that don't, you know what they are.
Rhinos.
Because what is going on in this country is disgusting. Okay, if they're doing this to a former president, what are they going to do to you for speaking bad about him?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, this has got to stop, and Trump is going to be the one to put a stop to it. And the American people and the Republican Party need to back him and forget about these cacoochers running for president. Because as far as I'm concerned, not one of them up there would be any good.
I think...
Other than Ron. And he should have never gone against Trump, because the two of them would have been a dynamite team together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is a free speech issue, and I think ultimately the courts will say so.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And let me tell you something. I believe you're going to see Trump's point soar now.
Yeah, that could very well be. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Andrew. You sound good. And I'm looking forward to our next chat. Thank you so very much, my friend.
You got it, guys. Have a good weekend.
And the same to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Andrew the Master Barber. All right. Let's take our final break. And when we come back, the top 10 most visited websites in the world.
My sexy now. So sexy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are here, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. And click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows. And you can pick the one you want to hear. You'll see who the guest is for the show and the topic with the guest. And you'll see what our top 10 is. Ourfreedomworks.com. Ed, before we get to our top 10, who are our Buccaneers playing, if indeed they are playing an exhibition game this weekend?
Home Saturday night against the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, okay. Very good.
That will be the last preseason game because it's three, and then 2 weeks off.
And then we start the season?
Then the season starts, yes.
It's coming up fast, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, and we've decided who our quarterback is.
Yes, Baker Mayfield.
And how are our beloved Tampa Bay Rays doing?
Rays have now won four in a row.
Oh.
Swept the Colorado Rockies.
Wow.
And still two games behind Baltimore.
Okay.
But they're about to hit 80 games won, so.
Well, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they have the second best record in the American League?
Yeah, and they have the Yankees are in town with their 500 record.
Oh, wow. Well, they're always a draw.
They're $275 million payroll, and they're 65 wins.
Well, we should have a good turnout, though, at the park for them, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay. All right, Ed. Top 10 most viewed websites in the world. This, according to a group called SimilarWeb.com, all right? And this is worldwide. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10, WhatsApp.
Yeah. .com.
Yeah, you've heard of them, right?
Yeah.
You ever ever visited that website?
No.
Okay. It's like computer electronics and technology and social media.
Right.
Number 9. Yandex.ru. You ever hear of them?
No.
They're a foreign website. I think that RU suffix on there, but they are computers, electronics, and technology search engine. Number 8. Yahoo.com. They've been around a long time.
Yahoo.
Yahoo News and Media Publishers. Number 7. And I go to this site, I bet you do too from time to time, Wikipedia.
Yeah, but...
Or do you?
Yes, but you, it's not always law. I mean, it,
no.
It can be wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
People just think it's in Wikipedia, it's always right. It's
not. No, but it's got...
supposed to give you an idea.
It's got viewer input.
Yes.
But they have some way, I think, of trying to keep... It's like an encyclopedia online.
Yeah,
all right. Number 6. Baidu. I guess it's Baidu.com?
I never heard of it.
Computer electronics and technology search engines or whatever. All right. Number 5. Well, it used to be called Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was, I guess, when they took this little poll... But it's now called X.
Right.
All right. Number 4. Instagram.
Yeah.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Social media, right?
Yes. And the guy that put that together made a lot of money when Facebook bought it.
Oh, yeah. I bet he did.
A lot of money.
So, is Facebook and Instagram? Instagram is still going.
Facebook, Instagram is more about photos.
Oh, okay.
And it's not about, hey, what are you doing today? You
right.
Know, stuff like that. So.
Oh, I see. Okay. So if somebody wants to post a picture of their backyard.
Yeah, pictures, or, vacations and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Number 3. Speaking of the devil, Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah. Well, you knew it was going to be in there somewhere, yeah. Right? It's very much visited. You know, I get all of these things in my email about Facebook. Once you've gone to Facebook, mm-hmm. they are always sending you emails.
Oh, and every time you click on an advertisement, it shows up on Facebook. You know, if you click on, hey, that shoe looks good, next time you're on Facebook, that shoe is right there
so,
20 times in front of you. And
yeah.
also a lot of Chinese advertising of gadgets and stuff, and they make it look like it's made in America.
Oh, wow.
It's shipped from China to a place in America and then shipped out.
Yike.
Yeah.
Yike. Number 2, YouTube. Yeah.
YouTube is great to look at things. I mean, anything. Mm-hmm. These days, your window in your car breaks and you want to fix it yourself. You YouTube it, fix window,
how to. Mm-hmm.
And somebody's done it, an instructional video.
All right, here we go, number 1.
I'm going to go with, how about Google?
How about you're right?
Google.
It's Google. Google.com. I think they don't show the numbers, but I think it's probably way out front.
Yeah, it's not even close.
No, it shouldn't even be close. Yeah. All right, there you go. Thank you so very much for being with us. We hope you have a great and safe weekend. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. The Fed chairman says inflation's still too high, and it's not clear interest rate hikes so far have done enough.
We are prepared to raise rates further if appropriate, and intend to hold policy at a restrictive level until we are confident.